Just a few weeks ago in Melbourne, I took part in the funeral service of a well-known officer, mainly from the Southern Territory days, but Major Peter Wright. Now, Major Peter Wright is survived by his wife, Janine, and both of them served for many years in the Northern Territory, and they were exceptional Salvation Army officers. And Peter was, for a number of years, the flying padre in the Northern Territory and in northern part of Queensland and also Western Australia. And in that responsibility, he had to visit over 100 stations, 100 cattle stations, and many Indigenous communities in that year. But he had to do it at least three times. That's what the requirement was of him as the flying padre. And there are many stories that Peter actually wrote about himself in his own private autobiography that he had done for the family. And his wife, Janine, gave it to me actually after he passed away. And I read it, some 55, 60 pages, A4 pages typed. And he tells the story on many, many occasions when he was flying over a particular station or he was flying over a particular community and he knew that he just had to land the plane. Without any reference to the manager of the station or the owner of the station or the head of the community, but he knew that he just had to drop into a station wherever that may have been, because he felt that God had given him a nudge to do just that, to land here. And sure enough, the flying padre was definitely needed on each occasion that he just happened to drop in. And on arriving, he was asked some questions, and I take these words from Peter's own writing. And he said, he was asked, "How did you know about this accident? Or when did you hear of this death? Or how did you know that a stockman was lost? Or there's a sick person? Or we needed the flying padre?" How did he know? How did he know just to land there at that time, at that very particular time when he was needed? He didn't hear any voice. He just knew that this is what God wanted him to hear and what God wanted him to do. Do you hear from God? Do you? How do you hear from God? How do you know what God wants you to know or what God wants you to do? How? There have been numerous times, far too many for me to count, when I've heard people say to me, "God told me. God told me." Now, as a Corps officer, there were quite a number of times that people came up and said to me, "God told me to tell you this," or "God told me that you should be doing this," or "God told me that you shouldn't do that." God told me, God told me, God told me. That's what I was told as people came and stood before me. Did they hear his voice? Was there a finger writing on the wall telling them what they should do? God didn't tell me. There's only one time in my life where I believe that I heard God's voice audibly. It was at a youth meeting, and they were called youth councils for those who were old salvos, at a youth councils many, many, many years ago. And the call was made by the officer who was leading the meeting at the time, and we were in prayer, for people to respond to God, to offer themselves to become Salvation Army officers. I had my head bowed, and I was positive that I heard someone say, "That means you, Ian." And I looked around, no one, no one. And even after that brief moment, my heart was beating so hard that I felt it was going to come out of my chest. And we were singing the prayer chorus, "Take up thy cross and follow me." That means you, Ian. Well, I went forward and I prayed and I asked that God would make this call clear to me if that was really what he wanted. And that confirmation actually came in the very next meeting, the very next Sunday, in the Sunday evening meeting. And that's another story. But I knew without a doubt that's what God wanted me to do. And I do thank God. I sincerely thank God and thanked him many, many times that I've never questioned that call in my years of officership. God called me. Now, our Bible reading actually referred to an occasion when Jesus was walking around in the temple courts at the time of the festival of dedication, the word tells us, also known as the festival of lights. And for the Jewish people, it was a very significant occasion. It was the celebration of the rebuilding of the temple of some 160 years ago before Christ. And it was the celebration and the restoration of the light of freedom that came for them to worship God that had been taken away from the Jewish people all those years ago, and their temple was destroyed. Well, here they were celebrating that event of 160 years ago and the rebuilding of the temple. And it was on this occasion that the Jews began to question Jesus again as he walked around in the temple. How long will you keep us in suspense? They asked. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, then tell us plainly. And a most appropriate translation of that verse I read writes a very well-known theologian, "How long do you intend to annoy us?" And Jesus replied, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. I did tell you, but you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. You're not of my flock. You don't follow me." And Jesus can do no more than point them to the two witnesses that he'd already given, the works that he was doing and his words. And using imagery that they would have been very well accustomed to, they understood what he was actually saying to them then. And he replied, "The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." And as Jesus continued, he said, "My sheep, listen to my voice. My sheep, listen to my voice. They follow him. They have eternal life. They will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of his hands." My sheep, my followers, my people who believe in me, who know me, who obey me, they are my sheep. They follow me. They have eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of his hands. The theme of this message, as I've already said to you, as I was told by the corps officer, and I believe that Jonathan had something to do with this. Is that right, Jonathan? Possibly. No. Jonathan, did you have yes or no? Yes, Jonathan had something to do with this as well, so yeah. Well, which Sunday, as I said, and I am going to refer to it just briefly, and please, I don't want you to see it as just an add-on, but I've been thinking about this theme for some time since I received that direction. And I've read a number of times, in particular, the chapter of the book that Kylie passed on to me. And the title of the book was How to Pray. And the reference for me was listening, as I've already said. I've never had another occasion when I heard God speaking audibly. That's never been my experience. But I stand here this morning and I tell you that there have been many times, numerous times, when I have just known what God wanted me to do. I wish it was even more, but I have known many times when I have known exactly what God wanted me to do. Do you hear from God? How do you hear from him? How do you know what God wants you to do? And Peter Gregg, in this book, How to Pray, suggests that there are a number of ways that we can hear from God. He says we can hear God in reading the Bible. We can hear from God in dreams or in visions. We can hear from God in counsel and in common sense. We can hear God in personal reflection and meditation. And there are other ways, of course. We can hear from God when we're on our knees ourselves. We can hear from God when we were in worship with others, brothers and sisters in Christ. But there isn't any doubt, that if we take deliberate time to read the Bible, deliberate time, we'll hear from God. We will hear from God. What I believe is that we just don't read three or four verses that come up on our Bible app and that's enough for the day. I mean, that's a good thing to do, but it's not enough for the day. But take deliberate time to clearly, slowly read God's word. Ponder over the verses. Really deliberately consider what God is saying and memorize them, some particular verses. And I tell you, as you will already know, that you will definitely hear from God. Definitely. Quite some years ago now, I was actually reading through Matthew's gospel in my devotional time, and that's what I usually do. I usually work through a particular book. And on this occasion, I was reading Matthew's gospel and deliberately considering each verse. And I came across these verses that I must have read numerous times in the past, found in Matthew's gospel, chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. And here's Jesus speaking. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Every empty word. Now, empty word means a careless word or an offensive word, even a derogatory word. Everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Every one of us, all of us, will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word we've spoken. One translation has these words written like this: words can be your salvation, and words can also be your damnation. Now, I'm not a very patient driver. And possibly Josiah could tell you that as well. I've driven him to every basketball stadium in Sydney over the last 2 weeks. I'm sure I have taken him. But anyway, at times I can be rather impatient. And what I really meant was, it's at times that I can be a very, very, very impatient driver. And I would use such words as dumb or unwise or stupid are some words I use to describe some drivers. Well, more than some at times as well. And I thought it'd be quite acceptable to be saying these words, not out loud, but just saying them to myself. And if certainly God knows that there are dumb drivers and crazy drivers on the road, and I thought that I could just remind him that as well. Well, quite possibly not in Sydney, but in Melbourne, they are everywhere, dumb drivers. And most often they are where I travel. They are. Well, God knows them and he knows everything. And seriously, I want to tell you that I was rebuked incredibly reading these words from Matthew 12. By your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. And I knew without a doubt, not hearing a voice, that God was speaking to me as I read those words. And let me tell you, that's just a byproduct of what has happened since reading those words, as I've thought about other words that I've used at times. If we're really serious about reading the Word of God, then we'll hear from him. Revealing something that we need to do, or something that needs to be addressed, or some activity we're to be involved in. There are very learned and intelligent Christians who have written about listening to God. And I've read on quite a number of occasions that such people believe that mostly God speaks to us from his word about issues or matters or behaviours that we have to address in our own life. Not always, but mostly that happens. Even when the preacher is speaking to us from the word of God, mostly God prompts us, I believe, and challenges us and rebukes us or encourages us what we should do, what we shouldn't be doing, confirming something in us, inspiring us, encouraging us. But when it's something that we need to do that involves others, in some particular situation, God often intervenes in our lives just when we're about the everyday things. Out walking, mowing the lawn, driving the car, playing in the garage or whatever, whenever. It's just a few years ago now. I, on the Saturday morning, had done the lawns, mowed the lawns at home, and I washed the car, and I came in and I said to Marilyn, I need to go and visit Mrs. Jones. Not a real name, but Mrs. Jones. Now, I hadn't seen Mrs. Jones for a number of years, and I knew her quite well. She was a lady a little older than me. And I said, I need to go and see her. And Marilyn said, not going to be late, are you? We're having family for dinner. And off I went. And I knocked on the front door of Mrs. Jones, and she called out, who's there? And I said, it's Ian Hamilton, Mrs. Jones. And she screamed out loudly, my God, my God, my God. And she was hurrying to the front door. And I just stood there. She opened the security door and grabbed hold of me, held me very tightly and said, I just said in a prayer, God, if you're really there, bring Ian Hamilton to me. And God, in his own ways, put this in my mind, in my heart, when I'm mowing the lawn a couple of hours earlier at home. We can hear from God if we want to listen to him, as we were reminded last week, even just about the everyday, God wants to speak to us. Speak, O Lord, speak. Almost, whenever we may believe that God is speaking to us or revealing something to us, we are not sure, then we can ask two questions. And this is what Pete Gregg says. If I obeyed this idea or thought that came into my head or into my heart, would the action reflect the character and the purpose of Jesus? If I was obedient to this thought, would it reflect the character and the purpose of Jesus? Is this the sort of thing that Jesus would do? Or what's the worst thing that could happen if I were to get this wrong? And if the answer actually is it would be a disaster if I get it wrong, then red lights begin to flash. Then we can ask advice from others or continue to pray about it. And God, he never leaves us. He never leaves us in a confused state, never. I wanted to refer to a very, very important aspect of listening to God, a very important part. You may recall the incident in the life of the disciples when they'd been out fishing all night and they returned from their fishing expedition having caught nothing. And Jesus was on the shore of Lake Gennesaret preaching and the people were crowding around him. You know this incident as recorded in the Word. And he asked the disciples who were cleaning their nets if he could use their boat to preach from. And he got into Peter's boat and he pushed out a little from shore and he continued to preach. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, Peter, push out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Well, after a little remonstrating, when Peter was telling Jesus that they'd worked hard all night and they'd caught nothing, and this was only a natural thing to do. Peter, he was the fisherman and Jesus was the carpenter. You know, we've been fishing all night and caught nothing. And Peter then said to Jesus, because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Because you say so, I'll do what you say. When you speak, Lord, I'll do what you say. And not only had Peter heard Jesus, he did what Jesus told him to do. And the result was, how do you describe it? The result was unbelievable. A miraculous catch. The nets began to break. The boats began to sink because of the large catch. But because they did what Jesus told them to do. Friends, I just want to remind you this morning that when we not only listen to God, when we listen to him, and we do what he says, then often unbelievable things happen. Amazing things, even incredible things happen when we do what God tells us. I tell you, we are never ever the losers, never. Today we celebrate the birth of the Christian church. As Jonathan has already reminded us, the birthday of the church. We celebrate the day of Pentecost. And just prior to returning to heaven, when Jesus was having a meal with his followers, we know, he said to them, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. This is Jesus talking. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And again, we're reminded here that not only did the followers of Jesus listen to what he had to say, they did what he told them to do. Now, we can hear, and we may often hear what God is telling us, but we need to be obedient to what he's saying. We're reminded that the followers of Jesus just didn't listen to him. They did what he told them to do. Wait. And truly it was amazing, incredible, miraculous. What happened? How else do you describe the coming of the Holy Spirit? When these followers of Jesus were doing just what Jesus had told them to do, the Holy Spirit came upon each of them. Here they were, together in one place, in Jerusalem, waiting for the gift that Jesus told them about. The Holy Spirit came upon each of them, and they were never the same. Again, I just want to remind you in concluding this morning, I just want to remind you that when we not only listen to God, when we listen to him, and we do what he says, so often unbelievable things occur. I'm listening, Lord, for thee. What have you got to say to me?